Armed American Radio's Daily Defense from the GunBroker.com studios on the Car Arms microphone, the podcast version, is being brought to us by Take a Shot Firearms. Reviews you can trust, shots you don't want to miss. Visit TakeAShotFirearms.com for more information. Enjoy the show.
Defending your freedom every single day.
On the Car Arms Platinum Microphone from the GunBroker.com studios.
This is Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. Here's your host, Mark Walters.
Welcome inside Armed American Radio's Daily Defense studios, the GunBroker.com studios on this Car Arms Platinum microphone. It's a pleasure to have you with me today in the studio. If you're watching live on your television screens, great to have you here inside Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with me today. I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to jump right into it today. This is one of these days and one of these guests, listeners and viewers, that I don't really have to do a whole lot of work. That's because I've got my dear friend Paul Markle, student of the gun, on the line with me for a solid hour. Paul Markle, student of the gun, welcome in. We've got a lot to talk about. How about we do what we do best and let's just wing it? What do you say?
Sounds like a great idea, a fantastic idea.
Sounds like a plan. First off, let me get your location. I want listeners and viewers to know where you are. You're out in the great state of Wyoming, correct?
Yes, I'm in the garden.
What's the pandemic, the coronavirus numbers look like out there in Wyoming? Is Wyoming getting hit hard?
No, not really. Not really. Okay. It's like our governor said the other day. He did a press conference, and he said, look, thank you for all of your advice there in New York and California, but Wyoming has been practicing social distancing for 130 years, so yeah. We're pretty sure we got it.
Social distancing in the form of, I think, everybody's homestead out there is about 50 acres plus, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Plenty of room out in the beautiful state of Wyoming.
Yeah, there's plenty of room to stretch out. Yeah,
let me ask you a question. Serious question. Are you seeing a lot of people flocking from areas like Washington State, Oregon, or California to the Wyoming area right now as a result of coronavirus?
Well, we had a couple weeks ago, we saw a spike of people coming up from Colorado to try and raid the Family Dollar and the grocery store for canned goods and toilet paper and all that. And so what the local stores did very wisely is they just posted limits on stuff. They're like, oh, we don't care how much money you have. You can't buy all the toilet paper and you can't buy all the beans and, you know, all the hamburger and what have you. Because what they were doing is they were trying to drive up here, load up their cars and drive back home with all of it, which screws, you know, if you're in a small town, that screws the local residents. Okay. And so that is, I would say, you know, rather than, you know, some people are like, well, capitalism, you just raise the prices, you know, double, triple, quadruple your prices, and then people will slow down. But that doesn't really do you any good if they're willing to just buy everything and drive away with it. So and those people, in 6 months when this is all over, you know, the raiders, the people who are driving 50 miles to try and raid your local grocery store, they won't be here. But the locals will be. And that's who you got to take care of. You got to take care of your community.
You have some advantages out in very, very rural America in Wyoming that some of us don't. My county in Georgia is considered somewhat rural. Although it's growing rapidly, it's still considered part of the metro Atlanta area, which I saw a stat today that makes the metro Atlanta area the fourth fastest growing in the country, and I don't like that at all. In fact,
that's
I hate that. It is too bad. I hate it. You know, it's just a 15-year period when I first moved out to where I live now. You got on my interstate to get off of I-75, and you were in the country. You drove through the woods, and everything was a two-lane road with no street lamps, no signs. It's now four-lane boulevard, lamps, growing, it's going like crazy, big intersections. You know, and that's bad for the county. It's bad for where we're at, and I hate to see it because along with that viewer and listener comes a lot of crime and a lot of other garbage that goes with it. So God bless you for not having to put up with that stuff out there. Hey, Paul,
I
know
on
you
a dirt
can't.
Road, Mark.
Well, that's a good thing. I love dirt roads. I wish I had a dirt road. Hey, I just want to let you know you can't see me, but I am holding up a Fighting Solves Everything student of the gun mug. And why don't you go ahead and I'll just tell everybody. Paul is a recent cancer survivor. God bless you, Paul, and your family. and you for just, I mean, fighting the good fight and back to 100% health, right?
Yep. We're fighting back, and all I got to do now is get used to we're higher than we used to be. And I don't mean Salt Lake City. When we were in Saratoga, we were at 7,000 feet or so. Now I'm about 7,300 up now, so I'm still getting a little bit used to the elevation, but I'll make it.
Yeah. Well, you will. You definitely will. Paul, there's a couple things I want to talk with you about today. And, you know, like I said before to listeners, it's great having you on because I don't have to do a lot of work. And I mean that in the sense that you and I have known each other for so long. We can talk about these issues that the country faces right now. And I want to get into the weeds with you on some of that. One thing I would like to touch on you about, and I know you'll have great advice, on the Facebook that I did a video with Rob Pincus today. We've been doing them, listeners, every day at 12 o'clock noon Eastern, 9 o'clock Pacific time, 9 a.m. Pacific time, Facebook Live, Armed American Radio, facebook.com/Armed American Radio, if you would like to go check those out. Great public service announcements with Rob and myself. And Paul, I'm sure we'll do one with you here in the near future. One of the things that we spoke about was police seeing a rise now in domestic violence calls amid the coronavirus lockdown. First of all, that's not shocking to me in any way, shape, or form. I hate to see it, but it was inevitable. When you tell people who might not get along or who might be going through a very difficult time that they have to shelter in place together, this can become a recipe for disaster, can it not?
Oh, yeah, obviously. And, you know, what's funny when you're a police officer, I was a police officer for almost two decades, and it's funny how you see calls that are seasonal. You know, right. You see calls that are seasonal, whether the weather is super hot. Like, for instance, we knew that if it's going to be a really sweltering July or a really, really sweltering August, that we would see rises in domestic violence calls. We would see rises in drunk and disorderly calls and things like that. And you just, you know, and believe it or not, if you talk to anybody who's been a street cop for a while, they'll tell you, or an ER nurse, that the moon has a lot to do with it as well. It's true.
Not surprising. I have heard that from a lot of beat officers. That's a true statement. Let me read you a quote from an NBC News piece that Rob and I touched on earlier today. I think it's telling. The financial stress alone creates a ticking time bomb for some families with a history of domestic violence. That came from Steve Mueller, who's the sheriff of Cherokee County, South Carolina, which, get this, has seen so far a 35% increase, listener, viewer, 35% increase in cases, domestic violence cases, in March over February. Does that surprise you, Paul?
No, not really. Not really. It doesn't. You know, like you said, we're putting people under house arrest. But they're not just under house arrest. They're under house arrest and they're not working. And, right. You know, most Americans or a goodly percentage of Americans, I would say, were not prepared or are not prepared to not get a paycheck for a month and or two or what have you. And a lot of people, especially service, and who really is getting beat up? Service industry people are getting beat up hard.
Yeah, they're getting crushed.
If you work for a hotel, a casino, a restaurant, a bar, a lounge, a whatever, or a service industry like you work for, how many of your major metropolitan areas have arenas and stadiums that you know employ hundreds, if not thousands, of people? And so, you know, look at your local arena or your local stadium where you might have 500 employees there. And now those employees are just, they're furloughed or they've been laid off or they've just been straight out fired. Because if you're not selling concert tickets, you're not paying people to clean, you know, park, whatever. So those people, a lot of these people rely on tips. You know, if you're in a service industry and you get a flat wage and you rely on tips, now you've got nothing. You got zero.
Yeah. Yeah, well, look, and as you mentioned, Paul, you know, one of the statistics that you hear a lot is about 75% or I think 50 or 60 at least. I believe I've heard it up to 75% of Americans couldn't write a check for $500 today if they had to. And those are scary numbers, man. And when you put something like this, which you put individuals through absolutely no fault of their own, let's not forget this. This was government induced.
Yes.
This was purely government induced. So those of you who are out there with a ton of pride saying, I've never taken, nor would I ever take a dollar from the federal government ever, I know exactly how you feel. I never have, and I would say the same thing. This is your money. They forced you. You need to take it. That's your money. Put the pride aside and take the assistance if you are one of those that desperately need it. By all means, please do. I think you would agree with me on that, Paul, right?
Yeah, I mean, I wish the federal government had so much pride that they didn't want to take money from me. They're like, we have too much pride to take money from Paul Markle. We don't need his
wouldn't
money.
Wouldn't that be great?
That would be nice.
That would be nice. The sheriff, Steve Mueller, in Cherokee County, South Carolina, continues with this. We're getting ready to take a break. Unfortunately, many of these domestic violence cases occur in front of children, and often the children become victims of abuse and assault as well. It's terrible stuff. You're in the Armed American Radio Daily Defense GunBroker.com studios with me. I am Mark Walters, filling your prescription for freedom. We're being televised out on the West Coast, radio stations around the country. We'll be back with Paul Markle, student of the gun, right after this. Don't go away.
America was founded through the blood of hard-fighting, hard-drinking men. Men who believed in freedom and whiskey, who laid down their lives and their fortunes, forging the bedrock of this republic, and in doing so created a new species of man, the American. Lead Slinger's Whiskey was founded by 7 combat veterans who were tired of people afraid to support the Second Amendment. Together, they brought their love of American bourbon whiskey to freedom-loving, like-minded Americans. For more information and to read the story of Lead Slinger's Whiskeys and Rum, visit LeadSlingersWhiskey.com today.
It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. I'm Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. When someone says, we don't need that kind of gun, remind them the Founding Fathers determined what rights our Constitution should protect. There's a world of difference between rights and needs. It is not the function of government to tell us what we need or what we don't. Certainly no one needs an assault rifle or a Saturday Night Special, or for that matter, no one needs a Corvette with a high-capacity horsepower engine capable of speeds to 150 miles per hour. But in the hands of honest, responsible individuals, we have the right of choice. We have the right to read books others don't like. We have the right to listen to any radio program we choose. We have the right to dress the way we want to. We also have the right to own firearms of our choice. So the next time someone tells you, you don't need something, tell them it's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. Join the Second Amendment Foundation today so that this message and our Bill of Rights might live. Call 425-454-7012. That's 425-454-7012. 454-7012.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at crossbreedholsters.com.
You've helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today, and now Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, wants to give back to you, my listeners. You can get deep discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the new radio listener specials. Mike heard me talk about his pillows on air and joined us on Armed American Radio. I'm getting a much better night's sleep, and you can get deep discounts on MyPillows, mattresses, toppers, bed sheets, and so much more. For example, right now they're bringing back the buy one, get one offer for the MyPillows. That's right. Buy one MyPillow, get another one absolutely free. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the buy one, get one free for the MyPillows. Enter promo code AAR or call 800-978-9358 for these great radio specials.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Car, the 25th anniversary K9 and the venerable P9 in various configurations. Magnum Research, the classic Desert Eagle available in 50, 44, 357, and the new 429 DE calibers. The BFR, biggest, finest revolvers, and the Magnum Light. Auto Ordnance, the classics, Thompson, that's right, the Tommy Gun, the incredible M1 carbine, and the one and only classic 1911. Car Firearms, a family of brands standing for your family's freedom.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com today.
This upcoming segment of Armed American Radio is being sponsored by GunBroker.com, the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammo, and related accessories. That's GunBroker.com. Welcome back to the show. Indeed, it is. Welcome back inside Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. This is the GunBroker.com studios, and this is the Car Arms Platinum Microphone. I'm talking with my good friend, Paul Markle, student of the gun. Paul, welcome back inside the GunBroker.com studios with me, brother. I was I was feverishly working behind the scenes back here. I've got so much stuff I want to cover with you, but there's a press release out by Alan Gottlieb from the Second Amendment Foundation, Paul, that just came out minutes ago, actually. Second Amendment Foundation, SAF, is joining a lawsuit against Massachusetts governor. For immediate release, the SAF today joined several partners in a federal lawsuit against Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker, a Republican, by the way, and two other Massachusetts officials challenging their acts of eliminating all lawful channels of access to constitutionally protected arms and ammunition during the coronavirus emergency. Partners in this action included the Firearms Policy Coalition, Commonwealth Second Amendment Incorporated, that's COM2A, the Massachusetts Gun Owners Action League, GOL, plus retailers and private citizens. The case is known as McCarthy v. Baker. Keep your eyes on this one. We certainly will for you. Attorneys in the case are J. Stephen Foley of Worcester, Jason A. Guida of Saugus, and David Jensen of Beacon, New York. Now listen to the quote from Alan Gottlieb, first of all. Closing gun stores and preventing citizens from exercising their Second Amendment rights is not the way to fight a viral pandemic. How ironic that rights groups must take the governor of Massachusetts to court over a Second Amendment issue as the 245th anniversary of the battles of Lexington and Concord approaches. Government gun control is precisely the reason our ancestors stood together on April 19th, 1775, and the Baker administration should seriously rethink its position. First of all, I almost said 1972. That is my wife's birthday, April 19th. Paul Markle, student of the gun, welcome back. And the student of the gun is very well aware of what occurred at Lexington and Concord and why that battle occurred in the first place. You want to talk about it a little bit?
Yeah, well, I mean, we can talk about lots of stuff. And number one, it's been sickeningly pathetic and disgusting that the people of Massachusetts have allowed themselves to get into a position where they have to ask for permission to exercise a constitutionally guaranteed, not granted, but guaranteed and affirmed right. The cradle of what was once considered liberty has become a socialist enclave. Basically, they're living in tyranny. It's sickening, and this is what happens when you allow your government to turn you into a reasonable person. You know, I've talked to people who've lived in these states, California, Illinois, Massachusetts, whatever, and they're always looking for workarounds. They're like, oh, we have this certain approved gun. You know, oh, we can own this black rifle. It just has to have this feature and this feature and this feature, or it's not allowed to have that. Or, you know, it has to be approved by the attorney general's office. Like that nonsense in California, where if you want to sell, you know, I don't know how many of your listeners are aware, but if you as a manufacturer want to sell a gun in California, it's not good enough to just be Ruger and get approved by California. You know, it's not like California says, okay, Ruger's an approved manufacturer. No. Every single model. So when Ruger comes out with, or Smith or Glock or whomever, when they come out with a new model, before the commissar of California will allow it to be sold, they have to ship them three guns. They have to give them three guns. They don't get them back. Right, and then right. Their masters, you know, the king will evaluate them and determine whether or not they will be allowed to to be sold to the peasants of California. It's ridiculous. But people allow it in this, and you get in a position like this because you've been, quote unquote, reasonable for so long, not realizing or thinking or understanding that your enemy is never going to be reasonable. Your enemy is never going to be satisfied. And there is no such thing as too much gun control when it comes to the left. We've witnessed this all over the globe. You know, I mean, look, if you looked at England 50 years ago and you look at England today, 50 years ago, it was all reasonable, you know, sensible restrictions. And now they're proudly posting pictures of themselves with pellet guns, claiming that they lawfully purchased a pellet gun that they're going to use to defend their home against home invaders. And all Paul, I can say is good luck.
Paul, let's go. The UK, for example, is a great example of this. There is now an entire generation born into the UK who have never known their gun rights. Never.
No.
They never had a gun right from the moment they were born. Their gun rights were taken away. And when they allowed that to happen to them, in the essence of socialism, can't we all just get along? And you know, it's interesting. I've done a number of BBC television interviews, radio interviews over the years. They are fascinated with Americans and people like me and people like you. They consider us to be gun nuts. And while they try to attack us on their television shows and try to attack us on the radio shows, as long as you remain calm, cool, and collected and state your position, it's impossible to lose. And here's why. Because virtually every one of their listeners and viewers think like we do. You would not believe the amount of email I get after an appearance on British television or British radio. You would not believe it. Thank you so much for what you do. Please do not let what happened to us happen to you. It's the same thing from Australia. And I've actually interviewed Australian politician in the past a number of years ago at SHOT who was there telling everybody at the Shooting, Hunting, and Outdoor Trade Show, don't let what happened to us happen to you. You know, let's go back to the permit process for a minute, Paul. My column is up on Ammo Land right now. I thought Georgia was a free state. Time for constitutional carry. I just read you the press release from the Second Amendment Foundation and Alan Gottlieb joining the suit up there. And you started off your commentary and the response with, it's a shame that they've allowed themselves to be put in a position to have to beg. We have a permit process here in the state of Georgia. And unfortunately, any permit process is now, I believe, outlived its usefulness. We talked about this over the last couple of days because we're finding out right now that the probate courts are no longer issuing probate or probate judges and probate courts where you get your permit in the state of Georgia have been shut down by a judicial emergency and are no longer issuing permitting. That being the case, here's what I can tell you. There will be a case against that in the state of Georgia. Paul, with the time that we have left, I'll let you take it away. Is constitutional carry going to grow out of this across the land?
I don't know. I hope so. Constitutional carry is growing nationally. We just need to have the stones as a nation to push it through and to say, I shouldn't have to mortgage or bribe you for my rights. And that's essentially what a permit system is. It's bribing the government to return a right to you that they stole. They're holding your right hostage, and you have to rent them from them.
They absolutely are. Paul, we're getting ready to go to the bottom of the hour break. When we come back, I want to carry on that conversation briefly with you about constitutional carry. Then I want to take you to Chicago, Chirac, Chi-Town. I want to take you there. Is crime dropping in Chicago? The murders we've talked about, the thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of shootings that I've spoken about on this broadcast, viewers, listeners, for over 11 years on this radio program. April 26th will be 11 years. April 27th starts 12 years. We have covered tens and tens and tens of thousands of shootings in Chicago. We're going to go to Chicago with Paul Markle, student of the gun, right after this. Don't go away.
It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. I'm Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. When someone says, we don't need that kind of gun, remind them the Founding Fathers determined what rights our Constitution should protect. There's a world of difference between rights and needs. It is not the function of government to tell us what we need or what we don't. Certainly no one needs an assault rifle or a Saturday night special, or for that matter, no one needs a Corvette with a high-capacity horsepower engine capable of speeds to 150 miles per hour. But in the hands of honest, responsible individuals, we have the right of choice. We have the right to read books others don't like. We have the right to listen to any radio program we choose. We have the right to dress the way we want to. We also have the right to own firearms of our choice. So the next time someone tells you, you don't need something, tell them it's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. Join the Second Amendment Foundation today so that this message and our Bill of Rights might live. Call 425-454-7012. That's 425-454-7012.
Defender Coffee was created by patriots for patriots. It's coffee for Americans devoted to defending the Second Amendment. It's coffee for Americans who understand that if you don't fight for your freedom, you lose it. That's why Defender Coffee donates 100% of profits to gun rights organizations that fight to defend the Second Amendment. When you drink Defender Coffee, every single cup defends your right to keep and bear arms. Visit DefenderCoffee.com today and join the coffee club while you're there. DefenderCoffee.com.
Back to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Welcome back inside Armed American Radio's Daily Defense studios. These are the GunBroker.com studios. This is the Car Arms Platinum microphone to viewers on the West Coast. It's great to have you here with us today. I hope you're enjoying the broadcast today. And my guest, Mr. Paul Markle, student of the gun. A couple of orders of business to get out of the way quickly. If you would like to become an Armed American Radio premium subscriber, please visit me at armedamericanradio.org. Click join now. It's only $7.95 a month to do so. And later today, the promo code will be going up for premium subscribers only to get a copy of my book. And it's a good one, Grilling While Armed, the top 20 recipes, how to get off the gas and become your neighborhood barbecue pit boss in one day, where myself and my partner, George the Mad Ogre Hill, pair 20 great barbecue recipes, some of my own and some contributed from others, with a tremendous firearm to wear on your hip. Guns and barbecue go together. It's as American as apple pie, particularly if grandma made it and she made it with a gun strapped on her hip. So keep that in mind. You can do that over at armedamericanradio.org. Join now. It's only $7.95 a month. We'll go over some of our sponsors in the next segment. Well, let's welcome back in Mr. Paul Markle. Paul, student of the gun, welcome back with me, brother. Let's continue the conversation briefly about the constitutional carry issue, because we got slapped in the face in the state of Georgia on March 14th, Paul, when Governor Kemp, arguably one of the most pro-gun governors in the country, who ran one of the most pro-gun campaigns I've ever seen in my life for governor, issued his emergency orders on the 14th and declared a state of emergency. The Chief Justice of the Georgia State Supreme Court, Harold Melton, then issued a judicial emergency, essentially shutting down the court system in the state of Georgia. Unfortunately, in Georgia, you have to beg for your permit, $77. At least you don't need to get training. You pay the fee. If it's new, it's $77. If it's renewal, I think it's $33. You beg the state for it. 7 days later, your permit comes, but you have to do that at the probate court, because the probate judge himself or herself has to be the one to sign the permit after you get the fingerprints and do the whole photograph and everything else. With those court systems shut down now, except for essential business, Paul, and they've made it very clear, the probate judge's attorney, that they do not consider the Georgia weapons licenses essential. If your permit is renewing, you can't get it renewed now. If you want a new one to be able to carry that gun that you just bought, you can't apply for one now because the probate courts are closed. Constitutional carry solves this. We've asked the governor to give us a reprieve from the licensing requirements right now while they've declared the state of emergency. Now, these are not anti-gun people. It's just a nuance in Georgia law that has come to light since this emergency has come into play. But, Paul, isn't this just more reason that we should abandon what was once a decent system back in 1987 when Florida started it? Now in favor, with all 50 states having some form of permitting, we now see the flaws in the system and begin to go, now that the permit system has worked, law-abiding people are in fact law-abiding people, let's now go to constitutional carry where those other 16 states are. Shouldn't that be the absolute law of the land? And in fact, I could argue the Second Amendment makes it the law of the land. There you go. Take it away.
Well, it absolutely does. And what we're seeing, fortunately, is we're seeing a bit of a reversal and a return to the founding ideas or the founding principles. But the fact of the matter is no judge, no attorney can honestly look at a citizen and say that Our requirement for you to ransom your rights keeps people safe, keeps guns out of the hands of criminals or whatever. That lie has been busted, and it's been busted numerous times. The fact, I mean, I wrote that the book, you know, Examining the Armed Citizen, where we looked in great detail at the fact that criminals don't care, and they never have, and they never will. The only person that is affected by a permit system is a person who is inclined to obey the law in the first place. So why are you punishing law-abiding citizens? Because that's essentially what it is. It's a punishment.
Money.
It's a fine. Yeah, it's a fine for attempting to do the right thing. Criminals don't pay a fine to do the right thing because they just don't care. And right now what we're seeing in this so-called emergency, this government-generated emergency, the lunacy and the insanity of mayors and governors releasing convicted felons. And, you know, they tried to portray this as, well, we're only letting go non-dangerous misdemeanor type people. Well, that fallacy was busted almost instantly. We had a situation, I think it was in St. Louis. I can't pull it off the top of my head right now, where a guy who was released to keep him safe from the coronavirus, a felon, went 2 days later, murdered a dude. Murdered a guy 2 days after being let out of jail. We had a situation in Utah, a guy who was released from his adult probation supervisory, whatever, kidnapped a woman in her own home, held her at knife point, tied her up and held her at knife point. These are not choir boys. And the fact of the matter is, some of them just started their sentences. So we have convicted criminals who didn't even do a percentage of their sentence, who just been let free. They're just roaming the streets.
You know,
and
Paul,
we're expected as a citizenry to just, you know, expect that you know, they're going to respect everyone's, property and lives or whatever. It's like,
of course they will. There's a virus out there. Of course they're going to.
I better not rob and rape and murder people because that wouldn't be nice.
Can't we all just get along? I mean, this is a joke.
Right.
This is an absolute joke. Look, we could go into what they did in Philadelphia all day long. I like to use what I call the criminal den test. Let's put this theory to the test. You've got a criminal lair where 20 or 30 scumbags are all piled on top of each other deciding what they're going to do. I'm talking about maybe, I don't know, let's make this a group of gangbangers in any Democrat-controlled city across America. Let's do that. Because if you show me a city in decay in America, we're going to go to one here in just a minute, Chicago. I'll show you a city run by Democrats at every single level, and I beg you to dispute that. You can't. Paul, the criminal den test. Let's take Georgia's situation right now. So you mean to tell me those 20 criminals are sitting around right now, trying to put together a liquor store robbery or gun shop robberies? Oh, man. Did you guys hear what happened? The governor's emergency declaration shut the probate courts down. We can't get permits to carry guns when we're robbing those liquor stores. I mean, you would actually have to be stupid enough to believe that that's what these people are talking about, Paul. And sadly, there are people in America who fall for that crap.
You're absolutely right. And something else that that nobody's talking about is, under a normal circumstance, you know, your normal non-emergency crisis circumstance, the time from when a criminal, whether a rapist, robber, whatever, is arrested, incarcerated, released on bond or bail, and then actually gets in front of a judge, that's months and months and months, right? Well, now with the, you know, essential and emergencies only, all these cases are being pushed back. So it may have took 3 to 6 months to get a rapist in front of a judge and a jury to determine whether or not they're going to throw him in jail. Now we're talking, 6, 9, 12 months? We have criminals we have unconvicted criminals who are arrested and released and are just back out on the street. And the citizen is told, you're not allowed to buy a gun. You can't own a gun. You can't carry a gun because we turned off the permission slip system.
All right, let's take this back to the state of Georgia. Let's kind of circle back on that for just a second. Because you're talking about a process that's going to take months and months and months to fix. or to get caught up, just to get caught up. So let's use that get caught up aspect of this. And listeners, viewers, I want you to kind of follow me along. Walk with me here. Let's walk together on this one. So the probate court opens on May 14th because now that governor's emergency declaration has been extended from April 13th now to May 13th. So now we're 5 weeks, another 5 weeks to go that you can't exercise your constitutional rights. So let's keep this into consideration, Paul. On the 14th, when it opens, do you believe that the probate courts, who are going to be so backed up, are going to prioritize your Georgia weapons licenses over everything else? That's the thought. When we come back, I'll ask Paul what he thinks about that. Then we are going to Chicago in just about 4 minutes, so don't go away. I'm going to take you to the streets of Chicago. I mean, certainly the criminals are all paying attention to the law now, right? Staying on lockdown? Yeah, dream on. We'll be right back.
The 25th Anniversary K9 and the venerable P9 in various configurations. Magnum Research. The classic Desert Eagle available in 50, 44, 357, and the new 429 DE calibers. The BFR Biggest Finest Revolvers and the Magnum Light. Auto Ordnance. The classics. Thompson. That's right. The Tommy Gun. The incredible M1 Carbine and the one and only classic 1911. Carr Firearms. A family of brands standing for your family's freedom.
The North American Arms 32 NAA Guardian Pistol, designed in partnership with Convoy Ammunition. The 32 NAA fires a cartridge based on the 380 case, but necked down to hold the smaller 32 bullet. The result is a remarkable gain in ballistic performance that produces more velocity, energy, and stopping power than any conventional 32 ACP, 380 ACP, or 380 ACP plus P. The 32 NAA from North American Arms. For more information, please visit NorthAmericanArms.com. That's NorthAmericanArms.com.
It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. I'm Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. When someone says, we don't need that kind of gun, remind them the Founding Fathers determined what rights our Constitution should protect. There's a world of difference between rights and needs. It is not the function of government to tell us what we need or what we don't. Certainly no one needs an assault rifle or a Saturday Night Special, or for that matter, no one needs a Corvette with a high-capacity horsepower engine capable of speeds to 150 miles per hour. But in the hands of honest, responsible individuals, we have the right of choice. We have the right to read books others don't like. We have the right to listen to any radio program we choose. We have the right to dress the way we want to. We also have the right to own firearms of our choice. So the next time someone tells you, you don't need something, tell them it's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. Join the Second Amendment Foundation today so that this message and our Bill of Rights might live. Call 425-454-7012. That's 425-454-7012. 454-7012.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com today.
Our Second Amendment rights are under attack like never before, and we need you to take action now. The 2020 Democrat candidates have declared war on your right to keep and bear arms. Joe Biden supports gun prohibition and confiscation of your guns. Anti-gun billionaire Michael Bloomberg has vowed to spend millions to support Biden, and his number one policy issue is to take away your Second Amendment rights. It is urgent that every American show your support for our right to keep and bear arms. Please call 800-497-4775 to sign our petition in support of President Trump and your Second Amendment rights. Now is the time to defend our right to keep and bear arms, and it starts with your phone call to 800-497-4775. President Trump has protected our Second Amendment rights, and we need to show we support his presidency. 800-497-4775. Paid for by American Political Action Committee PAC, which is responsible for the content of this message.
America was founded through the blood of hard-fighting, hard-drinking men. Men who believed in freedom and whiskey, who laid down their lives and their fortunes, forging the bedrock of this republic, and in doing so created a new species of man, the American.
Lead Slinger's Whiskey was founded by 7 combat veterans who were tired of people afraid to support the Second Amendment. Together, they brought their love of American bourbon whiskey to freedom-loving, like-minded Americans. For more information and to read the story of Lead Slinger's Whiskeys and Rum, visit LeadSlingersWhiskey.com today.
The following segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by Defender Coffee. When you drink Defender Coffee, you're making a donation to a gun rights organization of your choice that protects and defends your freedoms. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back indeed inside these Armed American Radio Daily Defense Video Network studios being televised out on the West Coast. It's great to be with you. Thanks for joining us here in the GunBroker.com studios on this Car Arms Platinum microphone. Let me give a shout out, please, to our sponsors that make all of this possible. Lead Slinger's Whiskey, you just heard some of those spots. Second Amendment Foundation, doing God's work. Crossbreed Holsters, the best, most comfortable holsters in the business, bar none. Long history with Crossbreed Holsters. We'll tell that story one day when we have some time. Excuse me, MyPillow. Did you ever think you could support the Second Amendment when you're sleeping? You can with a MyPillow because Mike Lindell supports this program and our right to bear arms. Personally know him well. He's a great man. Car Arms, the Car Arms microphone. These are the GunBroker.com studios. If you can't find it on the shelf somewhere, go to GunBroker.com. It's free to sign up. That's all you need to do. Over 1.5 million auctions per day. Per day. Go check them out and give them a shot, pun intended. North American Arms. We'll be hearing from Sadie very, very soon with a new giveaway from North American Arms. Of course, Defender Coffee. Bursa, we heard from Raphael just the other day on the Armed American Radio broadcast. And, of course, I can't leave out Emerson Knives, and again, Defender Coffee, DefenderCoffee.com. Give some of those profits to the Second Amendment organization of your choice every single time you drink a cup of coffee. It's great stuff. All right, Paul Markle, student of the gun, let's jump back into this. I want to take you to Chicago, brother. Is that okay?
Sir.
Okay, let's do it. I knew I had you there. Let's get, gotta love live radio. Let's go to Chicago real quick. First off, and I used to cover these numbers religiously, Paul, on the Monster broadcast for years. It's been a while since we've focused on Chicago, but this is a good opportunity to go back. I wish you could see the screen that I'm on right now. But and this is from the Chicago Tribune today. Today. Today is April 9th. It is 4:50 as we're doing the show live, Eastern Time, 1:50 on the West Coast. The last 93 shootings, Paul, in Chicago, and they are listed here by age and time and date. The last 93, I think it is on here, if I counted it out right, go back just to March 25th, the last 93. Chicago's killings have surpassed last year's by 64 by this date today than 2019. 550 people have been shot this year. The year is not half over. Chicago is just yet again in record territory. Paul, Newsweek is reporting Chicago's coronavirus shelter-in-place measures haven't slowed shootings at all. And I quote, the coronavirus, oh, amazing. Not at all. It's the numbers are going off the chain. Over 20 people shot. Over 20 people were shot citywide in just the past 2 days, and this was written 3 days ago. The mayor now, Lightfoot or whatever her name is out there, Democrat, by the way, been running the city there at every level for decades. You see my point. Is just really doing what Chicago mayors have been doing for a long time, talking a bunch of hogwash that we can't put up with this, we can't stand this, and they call it gun violence. Dude, this is crime, man. It's not gun violence. There's no gun control is going to stop this, as we've seen in Chicago. It is flat out criminals not paying attention to any law. Period. Talk to me, Paul.
Well, it should be obvious for any honest person, and the fact is, you can't find an honest Democrat. And if you're a Democrat, I'm sorry, you need to fix yourself. But the thing with Chicago is, Chicago's like Massachusetts, it's like California, it's like everywhere else. It's on the surface corrupt. They don't even hide it anymore. They stopped hiding.
Yeah, that's a great point.
and the fact of the matter is it's always been that way for anyone who's willing to think with a rational, thoughtful brain and who's willing to examine actual facts and not feelings. I can't stand these. Riddle me this, Batman. Didn't the mayor of Chicago, like, ask the people. No, I'm sorry. That was Baltimore. There was two mayors.
Ask criminals to stop committing crimes.
And the Democrat mayor in Houston, both went public and said, "Hey, you know, just chill out until this crisis averts." I guess then go back to killing. So maybe the mayor needs to try the Houston or the Baltimore tactic. Maybe the mayor needs to go on TV and just ask criminals nicely to chill out.
Paul,
things are back to normal.
Let's go to Chicago for just a second. We've been watching this utter travesty in Chicago go on for years and years and years. Mayor Daley, the Daley family ran that city as a racket for decades. Decades they ran that city. As corrupt as the day is long, the voters know it. I've asked a lot of voters and friends that lived in Chicago for years, why do you people continue to vote for this guy? And he says, you know what? The city works. It just works. We all know he's corrupt, but he keeps getting reelected. Well, if you're going to put up with that, and that's your attitude, then this is what you're going to get as a byline.
It's what you deserve.
You've got what you've earned. I mean, you've earned this type of corruption. You've earned this type of activity. And it's the voter in Chicago is the only one that can put a stop to this. And what I don't understand, and you mentioned the word honesty to any honest person, it's intellectual honesty that's in play here. These people
Absolutely.
Have got to be intellectually honest enough to say, you know what? Wow, I could be part of this problem. Now, we have covered tens and tens and tens of thousands of shootings. And I mean, I think I've done it with you before over the years where I've run down the names of the victims on a weekend where, 34 people were killed. And wait till summertime comes with this garbage going on out there if this is still happening.
I shudder
to think what's going to happen in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. Now that the weather's warm, they're just getting ramped up.
Oh, they're just getting started. So, but, the interesting part about this is if every town for gun safety were concerned about crime, they would be in Chicago. They would have offices opened in Chicago. They'd be marching in the streets in Chicago all day long, every day, but they're not. Instead, they're spending their efforts and their resources right now to try to get governors to close gun shops so law-abiding people, not criminals, can buy firearms. So what does that say, Paul? Kind of wrap it all up for us in a bundle before we close the show today.
Well, you hit the nail on the head. There's intellectual honesty, and intellectual honesty takes courage. It takes courage to admit that maybe your feelings or your opinions may have been wrong. And there are very few people in this world that can actually do that. And they certainly aren't liberals, because liberalism is the definition of insanity. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. And that's Chicago for the last 100 years.
It's a disease. It's a flat out disease.
It's a mental disease. So I hope and pray that the American people get fed up to their, to their necks with all this nonsense and just say, you know what? We tried it your way. Your way doesn't work. We're not doing it your way anymore. That is my hope. That is my prayer that comes out of this. Unfortunately, what I'm seeing is a lot of people who are, quite frankly, comfortable slaves, as Samuel Adams described them 200 plus years ago. They're literally comfortable slaves. As long as it doesn't affect them personally, they're not willing to stick their necks out. And that's what's going on in Chicago and every other major city.
You're correct. We've got about 20 seconds, Paul. Tell us where everybody can find Student of the Gun, please.
It's this crazy little place called studentofthegun.com, and it'll take you everywhere you need to go, radio, television, books, training, you name it.
It's all there. Paul Markle, your son, doing a great job over at Student of the Gun. I want to thank you for being here. Listeners, viewers, these are crazy times we're in. I don't know what else to tell you. I can tell you this with certainty, that we're going to be here for you as gun owners every single day, over the airwaves, on your television screens, online, columns, Student of the Gun, interview, Facebook. Get out there and check us out. Facebook.com/Armed American Radio, armedamericanradio.org to become a premium subscriber. Enjoy the rest of your day. I'll see you on the radio. Wow. We're going to get up and do it again tomorrow because we can and because they don't want us to. See you on the radio.